Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun. Follow the Utah Grizzlies on Facebook for the latest on weekend home games, or visit utahgrizzlies.com for more. Utah Grizzlies hockey, it's just fun.
I'm Amanda Rock, staff writer for Slug Magazine, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. In this episode, we'll be exploring two different aspects to the vegan community in Salt Lake City, as we speak with Kate Dowden from Resilient Body Nutrition and Rachel Cade from Frisch Compassionate Eatery. So, Nurse Kate, tell me who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I am a registered nurse in Utah, which is a compact state, which means I can be a nurse in all kinds of states.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I specialize in pediatric rehab, and I've been working with kids with special needs for 22 years or so. And now I am a nurse sometimes, and I also run my little small business, Resilient Body Nutrition.
Okay, well, tell me more about your business.
Resilient Body Nutrition was born out of it was kind of the silver lining out of a really crappy time in my life. It was the silver lining around the little pile of cancer shit that I was diagnosed with in 2010. And, you know, when you go through cancer, you just feel so out of control. Your mortality is just screwed with in such a big way, and it changes your perception of your sense of future. I think in a big way, gaining control of my diet helped me feel like I was in control of my disease. And so I just latched on to healthy eating and was there anything I can control that would help me maybe not have to deal with this in the future? And so I started doing research on plant-based diet, came across, you know, T. Colin Campbell, Caldwell Esselstyn, John McDougall, Dean Ornish, all those folks, and their research, and realized the research is there, but we just need to find ways to get it out and make it approachable. And so that's what Resilient Body Nutrition is about, getting good diet advice out to whoever is ready for it in a digestible format.
Okay, so how do you do that?
Currently, one of my most popular products is in-home parties.
And that sounds super fun.
Oh my gosh. They are super de-duper fun. I come to your house and show you and your friends how to make a beautiful plant-based meal. And, you know, we drink wine and
that sounds
food.
Even better.
Right? Great for plants.
Right.
You know, we just have a good time.
That sounds awesome.
I also do private consulting, and I'm working on changing some things up here in the future.
So how did you start eating a plant-based diet?
Well, I'd done a lot of different types of diets in the past. I've come from a very heavy family. My sister had a gastric bypass. My father is extremely heavy. So it's always been very in the forefront of my mind to be mindful of what I'm eating and careful and kind of a little freaked out about it. But nothing ever really felt right or sustainable or enjoyable. And it's all about joy in this life. It's so short. And so I just started eating plants. Whole food, plant-based. And I followed a book, I think, for 6 weeks. And I was really strict as far as this many cups of rice and this much of greens and blah, blah, blah. Measured everything out. And when I got out of that, I was like, okay, well, this is for the birds. I'm not going to measure everything out and count my calories, which will make you want to poke your own eyes out.
Absolutely.
And just started eating whole plant-based food at what felt comfortable to me.
Okay. So what is the difference between a vegan diet and a whole plant-based food diet?
Okay. My favorite example is Oreos. Oreos are vegan, but they're so processed. I mean, you've got that little thing of what they're calling frosting is just sugar and partially hydrogenated oils. And although it's delicious, they are not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so whole food would, you know, you kind of take that out. And so you're eating, instead of potato chips, which are vegan, you're eating whole potatoes. So it's the whole version of foods.
Okay.
But again, you can't be super de-duper strict and you know, say, okay, if I'm eating a whole food plant-based diet, I'm never going to go have a City Cakes cookie, or I'm never going to go eat a Cakewalk Dillo. You know, you got to have those things.
Those your indulgences?
Those are absolutely my indulgences.
Awesome.
And also watching Sean from Cakewalk fill the Dillos is also one of my indulgences. I love you, Sean. Sorry, that was real embarrassing.
That's awesome. So eating whole food plant-based diet, how does this affect disease? How is this good for you?
We as humans want, our bodies want to be in homeostasis. If you, for example, in the clinical world, if you get too acidic in your body, like, real like sick conditions, not this novel shishi foo-foo idea of, oh my god, things are too acidic. You know, that's faux science. That's not real science. But when we do see patients in the ICU type setting that are acidic, you see all these body systems come together to try to neutralize that acid. Same with diabetics. You know, we see, diabetics, that's a terrible example, but normal people, when we eat, we have, you know, this release of insulin and blood sugar, this very complicated dance that works together to balance these systems. So if we give ourselves the fuel and the food that we need to maintain that homeostasis, we will get there. For example, if you eat a lot of oily food, you know, you might have some acid reflux type things, or a lot of dairy can cause acid reflux and all kinds of things like constipation. But when we add more fiber, more whole food, and not just the fiber, we don't want to take a strawberry and suck all the fiber out of it. We want the beautiful taste, and we want the texture, and we want the color, which is full of all kinds of phytochemicals and micronutrients. You can't isolate that from a strawberry. You know, you can't take just one component. You got to eat the whole thing. When we eat the whole food and not the isolates or the broken down parts of foods, for example, too much flour of any kind, gluten-y or gluten-free, is so much easier for us to absorb, and so we can wear it on our butts, which is where I like to wear my flours. But when we eat, for example, a nice dish of brown rice, you're gonna get a lot, it's gonna be more difficult to digest and break down, and it will be harder to convert that into fat.
So how does that play into disease, like heart disease and cancer and those things?
There's been so many amazing studies that have been done over the last 30 plus years that show not only can eating a whole food plant-based diet that's low in fat stop the progression of heart disease, but it can reverse it, which is the body, you know, you're giving the body space to go back to that homeostasis, that point of good health. Reversing heart disease, I mean, it's been shown. And Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn out of the Cleveland Clinic has done a lot of great research on reversing heart disease. There's been a lot of research done regarding diabetics and a whole food plant-based diet. Not everything, you know, I mean,
yeah, within,
nothing can
within
cure
reason.
Everything, but the big killers, especially if you're talking heart disease, which is the number one killer of Americans, cancer and diabetes and obesity related issues, and if you throw in the nation's third largest killer, which is medical problems, and I mean problems within the medical system, like you go to get your tonsils out and someone nicks an artery and you die, you know, that kind of stuff. It keeps you out of the medical system, and so it keeps you away from, and if you put all those numbers together, from all of the, you know, wrong medication, wrong site, infection, you put all those things together from the injuries and deaths that happen within the medical system, it's the third largest killer of Americans. And so we've got heart disease, reverses it, keeps you away from doctors, bless their hearts, you know, can help treat diabetes. It does not give cancer the environment that it wants to live in and thrive in.
Okay.
And so it helps, you know, there's been some studies that say it can help stop the spread of cancer cells and actually help your body, attack and absorb those. And cancer is kind of a subject near and dear to my heart. I don't want anyone to think that I am saying if you eat a whole food plant-based diet, you can cure cancer, but it can certainly help to give your body the environment it wants to thrive and kick the ass can of cancer.
Yeah. That makes sense. So give me an example and some ideas of the awesome food that you eat and that you show other people how to eat.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about my enchiladas because I'm going to make them for my ladies' book club coming up this week. Yeah. And I firmly believe that if you don't have really rich, creamy, carby, wonderful food, you're going to lose people. You know, people think of a plant-based diet or a vegan diet and they think raw carrot and celery sticks. So, you know, this is the opposite of that. But I take whole kale, like raw kale, and throw it in my blender with with half a brick of tofu and some broth and some spices, some Mexican spices and salt. And after I steam the kale, I flip on the blender and just blend it up into this crazy bright green paste. You know, depending on how people feel about mushrooms, either big chunks or like kind of almost carnitas, like thin strips of mushrooms sauteed with garlic, throw those in and then kind of pipe those into or pour those into enchilada shells. I like Rico's Handmade tortillas, corn tortillas. They're just so good. Throw those in a pan, as many as you can shove and stuff in there, and then pour some of the, I think it's Good Food, that organic enchilada sauce, and pour that all over. And then I usually put olives on the top, and I have this wonderful creamy cilantro lime dressing that I make that's, the base is cashews. And so you get this creamy, soft mouthfeel like sour cream, but without the cholesterol, which is bad for you, by the way, and with none of the saturated fat and animal protein, and it's delightful.
And you don't miss the cheese or the meat.
Not at all. I do have some friends that love the fake cheese. And after you've been a vegan for, maybe a year or so, people usually start to be okay with the flavor of vegan cheese. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good, sometimes it sucks. But yeah, you can put some Daiya on that if you want and, cheese it up all you want.
Tell me about another of your favorite dishes. What would you feed to somebody who you're trying to convince to switch over to a whole food plant-based diet?
Well, that's an interesting question because usually the people, I don't try to convince people to eat a plant-based diet. People either are ready or are not.
Okay.
And I have yet to meet someone who sits down at my kitchen table, because if you're sitting at my kitchen table, you're a friend of mine and you're open to the idea. Now, some people are going to turn their nose up to food no matter what you do. If they find out it's not free range, or it's not this or not that, you're never going to make a Democrat or Republican, or vice versa. So I think, it's important to not, I don't want to try and push my food or this lifestyle on people. But if they're open to the idea, but they're not sure about it, I make them, my enchiladas is a winner. I do a lot of wonderful soups and stews in the winter. The summer is super easy. You can just kill it in the summer because, kill it as in the tomatoes. because you can do, the fresh produce. Utah, we have such amazing fresh produce.
We have a good variety.
Oh, we do. And so great spring variety. Rolls is a wonderful way to introduce someone to this idea because it's basically, it's a food people are familiar with. It's fun to make, and you put spring roll wrappers in front of people and they fill them with whatever they want. You have all kinds of stuff out on the table, rice noodles, avocado, soy sauce, cilantro, limes, hot peppers, mild peppers, bean sprout, all the things. Some nice oven baked tofu with black sesame seeds on it.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Right? And some nice dipping sauces. And then you can say, I love red peppers, so I'm gonna have tons of red peppers. And so you can have people make their own plant-based meal still you get the credit for making dinner. So that's a
even
fun one.
Better.
Yeah.
So let's see, how do people get in touch with you?
I have a website, resilientbodynutrition.com. I'm on Instagram at resilientbodynutrition. I love my Instagram feed because I really feel like I can stay in touch with people and they know what's going on. I do have a Facebook page, Resilient Body Nutrition. I'm on Twitter at Resilient Body, and I am also on Facebook as Nurse Kate. First name Nurse, last name Kate.
Excellent.
If we're friends. I'm just saying. Are you my friend?
Hi, it's me, Bill Allred, and if you haven't been listening to my podcast, The Let's Go Eat Show, here's some of what you've been missing.
The cool thing about the Little Chocolatiers is we were able to make some really cool things.
You still get recognized a lot from the show. How often does that happen?
Any little person, you know, we will be confused with. And so, you know, sometimes they'll confuse us with the Roloffs and Little
Oregon,
People
yeah.
Big World. They'll confuse us
actors
with Bill.
And actresses.
Yeah. And so, I mean,
Download The Let's Go Eat Show now. It's available on iTunes and theletsgoeatshow.com.
So tell me about your restaurant, Frisch.
I own Frisch Compassionate Eatery. Do you have the address and stuff?
Yes.
Okay, 145 East 1300 South. It's in a little kind of a strip mall. Anybody who knows where Shanghai Cafe is, everybody knows where that is. We're in the same parking lot. So don't go there. Head west and come to Frisch. And we are a compassionate eatery. Means that we're vegan. We use no animal products whatsoever.
Cool. How long have you been there?
We've been at that location for almost exactly a year.
Okay.
Before that, we were closer to Liberty Park in the old, what is known as the old Rico's building. We were there for about a year and a half.
Excellent. So what kind of food do you serve?
We focus on, like I said, vegan food with no animal products, and we kind of go the comfort food route on that. I hesitate to ever call myself a foodie because I don't really know that much about like fancy food, but I know what I like. And so, and my husband is the same way. And so we wanted to have a place that was not intimidating in its foodiness, but that was still yummy enough because we use our restaurant kind of as our vegan outreach. So we wanted it to be yummy enough that an omnivore will eat it and be like, hey, this is good, even though it's vegan.
Absolutely.
You know? So that's what we have a lot of wraps and salads. We try to go the healthy route because you can obviously be totally unhealthy on a vegan diet. We try to kind of meet in the middle there and have a lot of things with vegetables and, you know, salads. But then we also still have mac and cheese and nachos and stuff.
Okay. So let's talk about what you do for cheese.
Our cheese sauce is a proprietary recipe. Not really. I just make it in-house. It's a tofu-based. There are a lot of ways that you can make vegan cheese. Cashews are a good way to do it, but it's kind of prohibitively expensive to do it that way. I'd have to charge like $12 for a bowl of mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So we use a tofu base with nutritional yeast, which is the vegan secret to cheesiness.
What is nutritional yeast?
It's a yeast. It tastes way better than it sounds. If you think about it, nobody wants to eat that, especially if they call it nooch. My husband hates the word nooch.
I don't like that either.
He's like, that sounds like, sounds nasty. But yeah, it is basically a fermented yeast flake that gives things a cheesy flavor.
Okay.
It's very salty. It doesn't taste, it's nothing like yeast that you would use to make bread. I don't even know why it's called yeast because it's not related to yeast at all.
Exactly. So what do you use instead of meat?
At our restaurant, we use a lot of soy. We use Butler's Soy Curls, which are actually made by a small family-owned company in Oregon, which is where we used to live, which is how we discovered them. It's a little organic farm, which is very important with soy. There's a lot of kind of scare tactics out there going on about soy and that it's bad for you and it will give you man boobs and things like that. Really, I think the key is moderation, of course, with everything, and then to always go organic with your soy when you can. So we use the Butler's Soy Curls because they are literally just made out of organic soybeans and spring water. And then they're little dehydrated, strippy things that we can flavor to taste however we want, whether they're spicy or what have you.
Give me an idea of some of the dishes that are really popular in your restaurant.
Hands down, lately, the full Whitaker nachos are the most popular. Again, with the comfort food, I would say actually that like 70% of our regular customers are not even vegetarians, but they love the full Whitaker nachos. And that is basically organic corn chips. And then we have We put brown rice, black beans, tomatoes on there, and then a house-made red enchilada sauce. It's kind of a smoky chipotle sauce, and then the vegan cheese sauce on top of that. And they are messy, and they are spicy, and they are probably not very good for you, but they are delicious.
They are so good.
Yay, thank you.
I can't go there and not order nachos.
Yeah, we have people that have never tried anything else on the menu. I'm like, hey, you sure you don't want to have a salad? And
no.
Nachos. So those are hands down the most popular. And then we have weekly specials too. So that is usually whatever we're running is definitely popular. We do a shawarma every couple of weeks. We do a buffalo. My husband really likes a challenge. So yeah, that was the thing with the shawarma. Somebody was like, hey, after the Avengers movie came out and everybody was excited about shawarma. It's like, is there any such thing as vegan shawarma? And we were like, well, it's usually made out of lamb, so probably not. But so that was a fun challenge for him. And like I said, that the particular meat substitute that we use can take on just about any flavor. So depending on what you want to spice it with, it can taste like just about anything. So
awesome. So give me a few words about Cakewalk.
Cakewalk?
Your roommate.
Yeah, my roomies. Cakewalk is a wonderful, I would almost call her a heritage business here in Salt Lake. She's been around for quite a while. Totally vegan bakery. She's had several incarnations. She had her own shop space for a while, and then she didn't want to do that. And so we were like, hey, just move in with us. So she does, again, kind of going the more comfort food route. Nothing too terribly fancy, but her specialty is what she calls a Dillo, which is short for armadillo, which is basically a vegan Twinkie, but it comes in like all kinds of amazing flavors. And she does, she's focusing on wholesale and stuff right now and made to order things. And she actually just finished a Kickstarter. So she's going to be focusing on trying to get her delicious vegan snack cakes into more stores across the country and stuff like that.
Cool.
So
in Salt Lake, we're lucky and we have quite a few vegan options in restaurants. Mm-hmm. What do you think sets Frisch apart from the other ones?
Like I said, we tried to go more with like a comfort food aspect, but still being healthy. I mean, obviously the other vegan restaurants in town are really good, and they do, we all kind of do some kind of similar things, but we all have our own take on it. You know, like I would definitely say Sage's is fancier. Like, people don't necessarily come on their anniversary for a date at our place. It's definitely more of a sandwich, lunchy kind of casual dining, I guess you would say. And then we also really strive to be reasonably priced as well. I mean, we do have to charge a little more for some things if it's organic, and we try to shop locally and stuff like that, so that makes some things a little bit more expensive. But I'm a notorious cheapskate, and I won't spend more than $8 on a sandwich, so I'm not going to charge somebody else more than $8 for lunch, you know. So I think that's kind of our niche, is the kind of comfort and casualness and reasonableness of it.
Excellent. We've talked about your awesome restaurant. Let's take it back a few steps, and why do you eat this way?
For our family, it is for a multitude of reasons. I mean, I don't feel like you meet a lot of people who are vegan for just one reason. Initially, for me, it was for the animals. And then the more that I learned about the animals, then I learned about the impact on the environment, and it definitely became an environmental thing. If you would ask my husband, it would be the opposite way. He originally cared more about the environment and reducing his carbon footprint and things like that, and then it has come more for the animals thing. So, you know, and then obviously then you read an article that says it's going to make you healthier and you won't maybe get cancer, and then you're like, oh, okay, good. That's good reason too. So there's really not any one particular reason, but my initial reason was definitely for the animals. I was actually pregnant with my daughter. My vegan story is I was pregnant and I had an ultrasound, and that day we had a barbecue, and I sat there with a little chicken wing in my hand, and it looked to me just like the baby that was in my belly, and I was like, I just can't. And that's when I became a vegetarian. And then just educating, you know, the internet is such a wonderful thing. The more we learned about all of it, then it was like, oh, I can't eat cheese anymore either then, because that's horrible, and I can't eat eggs anymore, that's horrible. So
nice. Yeah. So you use your restaurant for outreach?
Mm-hmm. We try to. Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that?
Like I said, just showing people that it can be tasty, it can be inexpensive, it doesn't all kale all the time. I mean, kale is delicious. We do have a really good kale salad on our menu, but you know, there are other things to eat other than that. And being nice about it is one of our biggest things, trying just to be personable. I have people all the time, you know, come in and say, how, you know, I'm not ready to be a vegan, but I want to be a vegetarian. And I'm like, no judgment whatsoever. You know, some people have to take baby steps, and we just try to be. One of our friends actually said when we first opened the restaurant that we were vegans, that you don't want to punch in the face. And that is like the biggest compliment to me. Not saying that all vegans are jerks. There are some awesome vegans in this community and everywhere, but then
that's
there are
awesome.
Just like any group of people, there are some that give you a bad name. And we just strive really hard to be nice about it and supportive about it and not punchable, which is nice. It's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter at Slug Soundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, Henry Glashine, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples. Our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was Kate Colgan. Next week, we'll have Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp in studio to talk about Latin American foods. Thanks for listening.